Happy Saturday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. You know, it is the day before, the day after, the middle of the time period between New Year's and Christmas. I hope you all had a terrific Hanukkah, terrific Christmas. Got to squeeze your loved ones, laugh with your friends, eat good food, and make merry. Well, now we have the New Year's coming up, 2015. You know, I went back and listened to my show, my New Year's show from 2014, and my producer is going to post this here with a link. You can listen to it for yourself. And I was pretty much astounded at how right on I was on my prognostications. In the case of some prognostications, rather unfortunately. Because we're in a time period in this country, for that matter, the world, and the two are interrelated, where there is kind of a growing darkness. And it's difficult to fight. And very, shall we say, perplexing, confusing, frustrating, angering. You have literally in the world a select, I use that word advisedly, few, trying to dictate what the rest of the planet, and in the case of America, what the rest of the country thinks, does, says, through regulations, through lies, through manipulation, through long and short-term ideological planning put into effect long ago by others, and by staffing the government with appointees which will carry on this ideological bent long after the president and Holder and the rest of that crew, Pelosi, Harry Reid, etc., are long gone. This was the fundamental transformation that he warned us about prior to being elected in 2008. What he didn't say was what that fundamental transformation involved. Progressives are great at using fuzzy words, warm phrases, you know, ear-catching, mind-tickling colloquialisms. And it's all a big subterfuge. Because what they mean by saying those words, and they say them just for deniable culpability down the road, what they mean is something entirely different than what we take it as. In 2008, we took fundamental transformation as we're going to clean up Washington, end racial divide, there's no red states, there's no blue states, there's just the United States, hope and change, yada, yada, yada. That's not what they meant at all. I'm going to let you listen to my 2014 New Year's show. You can make your own determination as to how accurate I was as what was going to be occurring this year. Internationally, kind of saw the whole thing coming. Although I was surprised at the rapid rise of ISIS, but completely unsurprised that our president, Muslim or Muslim sympathizing, however you'd like to view him, did little to stop them. In fact, he misled us again. They're JVs, they're this, they're that, they're not to be taken seriously. All the while, it's been proven, lots of articles in the archive shows, military intelligence, CIA, the Pentagon was warning him. He blew all sorts of opportunities to stop them in their tracks. And he's blown all sorts of opportunities to stop their incredible slaughter of the indigenous peoples and the Christians of the region. Did you know the president spent a good deal of his Christmas vacation so far conspiring, I won't say conferring, conspiring with his so-called national security team, Susan Rice, the Sunday talk show liar, Ben Rhodes, the perjurer before Congress on the Benghazi talking points. I mean, I wouldn't have those two people tie my shoe. So he has spent a good deal of the Christmas vacation, at taxpayer expense, of course, figuring out how to get certain outfits off the terror watch list. I mean, we all know of his sympathies to the Muslim Brotherhood at the peril of our relationship with a rather staunch ally, Egypt, and a secular nation, one of the few in the Mideast, not to mention a key to Mideast peace with Israel. We've seen him bow to the Saudi king. There's an article, I believe, posted with this show. Finally, a politician, Michelle Bachmann, has come out and basically called him for what he is. A sympathizer of and supporter for Islamic Jihad. Good for you, Michelle. And Michelle's not my favorite politician. She has her problems too, but she's right on. And we've heard it from other people with growing frequency, but still few and far between. This kind of sets up my prognostications for the international. Here's what I think will happen in 2015. Number one, Putin is going to seize the opportunity. And I want to emphasize, this is all the other countries of the world, particularly our enemies and adversaries, understand that this president has certain sympathies which are not American. They're not Judeo-Christian. They are not unifying. And they are not about America maintaining her power and place in the world or the security of the American people or world peace. Quite the contrary. Because any crisis that could roll around that he can precipitate, particularly with deniable culpability, he and his henchmen, will increase their power. Remember what Rahm Emanuel, his chief of staff, said. Never let a crisis go to waste. Some of you may be shaking your head saying, oh man, Reed's really a little far off on this one. No, I'm not. This man wants crisis. Just look at his foment and fanning along with his ideological progressive henchmen of the racial tensions which really did not exist prior to their involvement in this country. I mean, just think of how ludicrous it is that the first black president, the first black attorney general, black Department of Homeland Security agency heads, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, talk about a lack of opportunity for blacks in this country. And worse, whip up the flames of, you know, whitey wants you dead, cops are racist, etc., etc. These are not people looking to unify, to look for peace, or who have the American interests at heart. I don't care how you slice this apple. It's pretty apparent. They want conflict. They want division. And yes, they want crisis after crisis after crisis, because each one they can use to increase their control, further their agenda, and divert you from other things. It's a big game of bait, switch, move the ball. Big game at our expense. So internationally, you're going to see Putin and the other countries, the BRIC countries, who are conspiring now through the SOA, quite openly, I might add, and in concert with the UN, to attack the U.S. dollar. They're going to continue their economic pressure on the dollar as the world's reserve currency. Putin is going to test NATO. Remember, his goal, and I've talked about it in previous shows, listen to the archives, is to dismantle NATO. And you know what? I think Obama half agrees with him, maybe more than half. And there's going to be increased threats from an increasingly aggressive Russia, particularly, I might add, because with oil prices down, Russia's economy is teetering. And you know, Putin, like any good communist leader, needs to find something to rally the people around and get their minds off his lousy governance and their crumbling economy. No better way to do it than nationalistic expansion. Particularly when you know the President of the United States is either going to do nothing or secretly clap you on the back and say, go, go, Putin, go. You're going to see China test the Japanese and the Philippines and Hong Kong. Once again, knowing that at the least they'll have no interference from Obama and crew, and at the best, they'll have a behind-the-scenes slap on the back. You're going to see Europe increasingly drift, their economy slowly spiraling downhill, their demographics not so slowly changing, and thereby changing their politics and further distancing themselves from the United States. And you're going to see, I believe, maybe not immediately, but toward the end of this year, or perhaps 2016, further debt crisis in Europe, which will affect the United States. You know, one of the things that's going on is the derivatives. You've heard of the derivatives that kind of, propelled the collapse in 2008 because of government policy, which then fanned Wall Street greed. But make no mistake, it began with government policy. You're going to see that whole thing play out again. And you're going to see Obama spend money wherever he can, whether it's bailing out his friends in the insurance industry on Obamacare, his friends Wall Street on lousy investments made at your expense because it's your tax dollars that will eventually fill the gap, all on largesse programs designed to cement Democratic control and to buy votes. That's right, buying votes with your money. And you're going to see that in our international relations. You're going to see terror spread, unfortunately. Oh, ISIS has suffered a few setbacks, but you know, you're dealing with a mentality with ISIS and the rest of the terrorists, whether it's Africa, Al-Qaeda reconstituted. There is nothing more dangerous than an adversary who, A, has nothing to lose, I mean, in the end, you can lose your life, but they believe that that makes them a martyr and gets them their 72 virgins and their trip to heaven. So death doesn't bother these people. Just look at the suicide bombers. So you're going to have an increasing amount of terror and an increasing consolidation of terror groups and a feeble response at best from the United States, Europe, and the Western nations. I think you're going to see an agreement, we'll call it an agreement, which is giving it far more credence than is due, between the United States and Iran, which on its surface will be touted by Kerry, weak sop that he is, and Obama, malevolent liar that he is, as something wonderful, as something that that saves us from a nuclear Iran. Well, I've talked about it many times. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. This agreement will ensure that Iran will either get the bomb or be a month away from getting the bomb because we'll have enough enriched uranium at 3%, which can be rapidly, just read the Iranian president's own book, be increased to 20% for nuclear weapons. And that's going to trigger, and I've been saying this for a year, and I was slightly off last year, some type of preemptive strike by Israel. Which brings us to the next international prognostication. Right now, oil prices are very low. That's one of the things that's destabilizing Russia and destabilizing Iran, although the president's trying to do everything he can to help Iran out by lifting sanctions. He and Iranian-born Valerie Jarrett, the true president of the United States. But these oil prices are not going to stay low, folks. You got tanks in your backyard, I suggest you fill them. First of all, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, all the oil-producing countries, OPEC, some of them, who rely on oil basically as the engine of their economy, and who have to have prices in the $100 per barrel or more range. It's currently about $60-$65. If the market does not correct itself on its own, they will create a situation where it does correct. Iran could probably double the price of oil in a week by sinking a ship in the Straits of Hormuz or in the Red Sea. Russia could do about the same. And you know, desperate countries like desperate people, or desperate countries run by desperate people, will do what it takes. So not only do you have the market forces of the pendulum of prices, which always swings at work, you have desperate countries who must have oil revenues and oil prices at a certain level. They will do what it takes to make sure they get back there. Or more. And that will have a ripple effect on the world economy and a huge effect on the U.S. dollar. That's one of the things I was not correct on last year. I really thought the dollar would be much weaker at this time in 2014 than it is. In fact, it's really gotten quite strong. And the reason is low oil prices, world instability. And though our economy is crummy, it's still better than most others. So capital flies to safety. Capital hates risk. And we have lots of money flooding into the United States just because it's the best of the worst. But you weaken the dollar through SOA, SOC, the BRIC countries, and continuing pressure by the International Monetary Fund and the UN, who have written reports saying the dollar should not be the reserve currency. A determined Putin, who will soon be aided by India and Pakistan. A clever China, who's been hoarding gold for a decade and wants to see their yuan be the reserve currency of the world. Higher oil prices. A U.S. economy again faltering. Europe in decline. And you will see a dramatic shift in what's going on with oil prices and all the other things that oil prices mean to the American consumer and hence the American economy. And I think that'll probably be in 2015. These low oil prices cannot be sustained by these people who need money for too much longer. The other thing that you will see on the international front, you'll see a resurgence of violence and the birthing of terror in Afghanistan as we withdraw our troops. You're going to see Obama continue to attack the military, depriving veterans of benefits, which, by the way, is not so much depriving veterans of benefits as it is his attempt, I'm convinced of this, to demoralize the military, to make the military harder to staff. And to weaken the United States so it is merely a seat at the table of nations. You're going to see Obama on a domestic front continue to attack the Constitution. He figures he has nothing to lose. You know, he's like the thief who has stolen things, who has perpetrated a number of robberies, and the law can't touch him. Congress and the American people have trained him that he can do this stuff and get away with it. And he's going to continue to do it. Perhaps more and more boldly. You may see attempts at some type of executive orders, or as he likes to call them, so that he can lie about how many executive orders he's done, presidential memorandums on gun control. Some of it based off the UN Small Arms Treaty. The question is, what is Congress going to do? Boy, you know, that's my toughest thing to forecast. I'm really on the fence. Is Boehner and that crowd, are they complicit in this ransacking of the United States Treasury and the subjugation of people's freedoms to government? Or are they biding their time until, as some commentators call it, the cavalry arrives and they control the Senate so they can begin to reverse what they've had to agree to in the past and implement, hopefully with a veto-proof majority in the Senate? There are at least 3 or 4 or 5 Democrats with some living brain cells left. The rest are progressives. I don't know. I really can't forecast that. I guess we're going to find out pretty quick. Sometime between January 15th after they're sworn in and March 15th. And by the way, you know, Obama is going to do everything he can to create crisis, to create alarm, to try and throw off the Republican-controlled Congress from their agenda. So you're going to have that playing out also. As far as the United States economy goes, enjoy it while it lasts, folks. Enjoy that 18,000 Dow, those of you who are invested in the market. Enjoyed the little uptick. By the way, a lot of it was seasonal due to Christmas. Lots of places hire part-time workers, and the Department of Labor counts part-time workers now as employment. Unfortunately, so. Once again, I've told you this many times. Check out realstatistics.com, realstats.com. That's the true scoop on unemployment, employment participation, inflation, you name it. And on a bigger picture with monetary policy, which will also affect the economy and the world, you know, the Fed is caught in a crunch. I've posted a number of articles on it. Inflation benefits a debtor. And the United States, of course, owes $18 trillion going to $20 trillion. I project, by the way, that we will be over $19 trillion, close to $20 trillion by the end of the year in primary national debt. And our secondary, it's just as primary because it's the full faith and credit of the United States, secondary debt will be approaching $150 trillion, give or take $10 trillion. I mean, what's $10 trillion amongst friends? I project there will be some type of increase in taxes and some, under the guise of the reformation of the tax system. And most of the beneficial tax matters that will be passed by Congress will be vetoed by Obama. And I'm not sure the Senate can muster 60 votes to override his veto, because even the four or five Democrats, rather than progressives, left in the Democratic Party who are in the Senate are scared to death of this rich man, poor man comparison. You know, that other segment, that equality segment of the divisive rhetoric of the president and his henchmen. I think you're going to see increasing discontent in the military. I've long said that the commander-in-chief can be relieved of his command. Who knows? And I think on the terror front domestically, you're going to see an increase in terror attacks. They may be quote-unquote small, a few people here, a few people there, police, military. Did you know, by the way, that the I don't know what to call him, but the gentleman who executed the two New York policemen, who weren't even white. Did you know he was a Muslim? Not hearing that on the mainstream media, are you? You know, despite Obama's subterfuge, Fort Hood, Arkansas, the Boston bombings, this latest shooting, that guy with a hatchet who attacked cops in New York a month or two ago. Every single one of these are terror attacks. Every single one is Islamic Jihad. Every single one of them are radical Muslims. Every single one of them. There have been almost 30 terror attacks under this president's watch. There were none under George Bush's after 9/11. Yet they continue to pull the wool over your eyes with a complicit media. And as bad and horrific as these onesies and twosies type terror attacks are, my fear is something bigger is coming. I mean, all the lines are kind of converging in the heavens, don't you agree? The consolidation of terrorists in the Mideast, the pullback by the United States in the Mideast, Yemen, Somalia, all those outfits. Now Afghanistan, Iraq, ISIS, Boko, reconstituted Al-Qaeda, Syria. open borders. Iran getting a nuclear weapon. North Korea thoroughly pissed off over this movie and having hated us even before all that occurred. And having nothing to lose. All, of course, cheered on and backed by China and Russia for their own militaristic, nationalistic, and economic reasons. It's just a question of time, folks. I hope you read these family safety articles that I post and take heed. It doesn't take much to be prepared. You know, natural disasters can put a severe crimp in your life and put your family at risk. So can economic disasters. And certainly, so can a major terrorist attack. Be prepared. That should be the watchword, really, of 2015. Be prepared. And if your preparations aren't used in some horrific event, then many of them can be used day to day. And the peace of mind, just knowing that you're ready, knowing your family is safe, well, that's priceless. So, I guess the last thing I'll talk about is what's going to happen with immigration. Because immigration could be the fundamental game changer in the United States. And it could be the game changer, by the way, on either side of the pendulum. Immigration played properly by conservatives could be a huge boon for conservatives. Currently, it's a huge boon for liberals. It's going to lead to increased voter fraud in all upcoming elections. It's going to further divide the country. I've posted articles, and I'll be posting more next week, on how much this is costing us, further breaking the bank that's already broken. Did you know employers are being offered $3,000 give or take incentives to hire illegal aliens over American workers? This is part of Obama's redistribute the wealth social justice plan. Remember, I've said for years, it is not just the 1% or the 10% or the 20% in America that he wants to take from to give to the others. In his mind, Americans, particularly white middle class Americans, you know, the rich white guys who give money, they're okay. And the poor white guys who don't give them money, they're bitter clingers. But the white middle class is an enemy of the state. They are the pocket from which the state wishes to fund all its goody little plans and to purchase votes or to finance the flood of future votes across the border. Illegal immigration will be a huge, huge battleground over the coming years. And even if the Republican Congress gets a good immigration bill passed, starting with sealing the borders, because everything Obama has done has been nothing but an open invitation to increase the flood of illegals across the borders, I think it'll be vetoed. It's going to be a huge battle. It's going to be very interesting to see. And the fate of the country may swing with how that battle goes. And then we have Obamacare, the other biggie, I think, besides immigration. Well, should we say one of the 5 or 10 domestic biggies. Not only because of the law itself and its impact on you and your family and your pocketbook and your health and your life and how long you live and how comfortably you live in good health, but because it signifies, perhaps it best signifies, the overreach in government, loss of individual liberties, government intrusion, and boondoggle waste of money for political expediency and votes, all underlain by an equality distribution, wealth distribution, progressive mentality. I'm not going to get into all that big picture stuff. We've talked about it, and I'm sure we're going to have shows on it as the disaster unfolds this year. The Republican Congress here in this lame duck session actually voted to keep funding Obamacare. I certainly hope they plan to dismantle that when the Senate gets installed. We shall see. But here's what you can absolutely expect for 2015. As you know, the president has unilaterally and illegally and unconstitutionally changed this unconstitutional law a number of times, I think over 30, by presidential memorandum, otherwise known as executive orders, illegal. He has legislated from the Oval Office, illegal. And all for political expediency. He delayed the employer mandate. He delayed the individual mandate. He delayed certain things that the insurance companies have to do. He has finagled subsidies to the insurance companies of tens of billions of your dollars to make up for the losses the insurance companies sustained because of his illegal changes to Obamacare for political reasons. Well, all those chickens are coming home to roost, as his pastor of 20 years, Jeremiah Wright, would say. So in 2015, here's what you can expect, because Obama, by the way, is no lover of Hillary Clinton or the Clintons, nor they of him. And if he can kind of scuttle her ship, he will. So he can kill a whole bunch of narcissistic ideological birds with one stone here. Number one, your premiums are going to go up. And I don't mean by a little, I mean by a lot. Number two, Obamacare is likely to flounder even more because I think there will be some adverse decisions by the Supreme Court relative to state exchanges and several other pending matters, which we're going to get into in more detail in upcoming shows. It's important that you understand it. Number three, you will find it increasingly difficult to change doctors, to keep the doctor you have, the hospital you have, and all of those who got respites because of Obama's actions from losing your policy, that's over. You are now going to lose your policy and get thrown into the exchanges, which, depending upon how the Supreme Court rules and how underwater this law really becomes, just listen to Jonathan Gruber, are going to be raising their rates, increasing their deductibles, and in general, one big fat wreck for your health and your life and your pocketbook. So, you're going to see, because of the employer mandate, and because of the individual mandate now clicking in, millions upon millions of people losing policies which they otherwise would have lost to date, millions of people getting whacked off their employer's insurance because they can't afford it and the fine is cheaper, millions more people getting laid off or changed over to part-time work, which of course Obama's Labor Department cleverly began including as in their employment figured as fully employed several years ago, and a host of other really quite shattering effects. Nothing is more shattering than your health. And behind that comes your pocketbook. And overall, overriding all, is your family's welfare. You're going to see more dark secrets emerge from this law. How the law is weighted against older people who the law's architects and Obama's czars admit really ought to die earlier. Young people are going to become more disenchanted as it becomes more and more obvious, though the cat's out of the bag, that they're paying for the old folks until they die earlier. This is going to cause greater division in the country between young and old, healthy and sick, wealthy and poor, or even, you know, financially stable and poor. There will be no good coming out of Obamacare, folks. You're going to see state Medicaid rolls explode. You're going to see states flounder under increasing debt and expense, and many state taxes go up, along with fees on physicians. You're going to see physicians leaving the field and long waiting lists for health services. And it's the tip of the iceberg. And that iceberg is kind of rising out of a murky sea right now, this year, as we speak, 2015. We're at the end of the road of the machinations and the manipulations. Now the truth is really going to come out. And then the last thing, the very last thing. You know, my feelings are is that more and more people are going to awaken. Many have already. Listening to this show or other shows like it, the occasional ray of clarity that manages to flicker from some mainstream media source, usually inadvertently or by mistake. I think most people get it. But nobody has been empowered yet, or angry enough yet, or determined enough yet to really act. I mean, that's been pretty much the purview of the Tea Party, which of course is why they are so loathed, despised, and feared by the progressives. I think you're going to see much more come out on these scandals, Benghazi, IRS, you name it. Whether or not a public who's weary of the scandals and the passage of time orchestrated by the Obama administration on purpose, the obfuscation of these investigations, lack of transparency, which their Obama boy, Gruber, says is a good thing. Whether or not that will instill the public with enough gumption to stand up and beat their chest, I don't know. But I do know that the American spirit will continue. The land of the brave and the free will stay the land of the brave and the free if we stand up. And that we owe it to our country, to ourselves, and to our children's children to stand up. So I ask you, in this 2015 upcoming, number one, have the best New Year's ever on a personal level. I hope things rock and roll for you and yours, and for all of us, and for the country. But number two, make yourself a resolution and keep it. Spend an hour a week, 10 minutes a day, it's nothing, acquainting yourselves with what is going on. Knowledge is the first line of defense. Number two, invest a few hours a month in talking with like minds, getting involved, whether it's on a campaign or whether it's with an issue, whether it's writing letters to your representatives and expressing your opinions, making phone calls, beating on the media to be truthful and complete. Sending a letter to the White House is a waste of time. Don't bother. And I'm imploring you to get involved. There's time to put this train back on the tracks. But daylight's wasting. And it's up to us. This is our sacred trust. Let's live up to it. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Happy 2015, which will be arriving in just a few days. And the best to you, yours, all of us, and to America.